Well, this morning we're going to continue in this series of the seven I Ams, how Jesus identifies himself, which is very important for us to understand as we relate to others in the world as well. I wondered if, I'll just pick on you since I don't want to cause issues with anybody else. Could you come up for a minute, Karen? I should have. I didn't ask her permission. I'll pay for this later, I'm sure. But so I just want you to stand here for a moment and cover your eyes. And what do you see?
Do you want me to open them?
No. What do you see that way?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's dark, right?
Yeah.
But you know where you are.
Yeah.
So if I were to spin you around for a while. And keep moving you around and say, okay, now in the dark, walk back to your seat. Would you do that?
No.
Why not?
There's a step.
There's a step. Where is it?
I think over there.
You think it's over there. Would you like to try that?
No.
Or no?
No. It's over here?
Every way that you would exit this place, there is a step. I don't know. Are the people over there? You may open your eyes.
Can I leave?
You may leave too. Yes. She was much quicker to go down than up. I noticed that too. But one of the things that we realize in life is that light is important. Now, when she had her hands over her closed eyes, everything was dark. Can still hear, can still feel that she's on this solid platform, but she couldn't see anything. Maybe some of you have known people in your life, relatives or friends, that have been blind, whether completely or partially. It's a difficult life. I remember the church that I grew up in. There was a man there that was blind from birth, and it always made me wonder what that kind of life would be like, where you can't see anything. I mean, the rest of the world enjoys color and texture, to be able to see distance and beauty. I mean, everything that exists is there for us to receive as we see it. But if you can't see, that becomes a real issue. So we're going to talk about light this morning. First, what is light good for? To see, right? You need it to see. So some of these are going to be different expressions of that, but light is useful for all kinds of things. What else, though? Mowing crops?
Growing,
yes. I suppose you need it to mow your crop too, otherwise you'll be on your neighbor's property and that won't be so good. But yes, you need it to grow things. Light brings growth to grass and crops and trees, right? Yeah, right. So that's a part of seeing. So if you're in the dark and you have a flashlight and you're looking for something, it will reveal what you're looking for, right? The light will help you find what you need to find. What I notice, there have been a few cars that have gone by here. If it were completely dark, would they be moving? Or what would happen if they were? It's not going to go well if you're trying to get from one place to another in the dark. Much like trying to get off the platform, you could. Maybe make your way, but you wouldn't know if you stepped off here into the sound system or stepped off into the soft grass. You need light to travel. I could tell you that you need to go this way or that way to get to where you need to go, but if you can't see, I've tried that before, and I can't walk a straight line without seeing. I think I can. And then I opened my eyes only to look and see how far off course I got because I couldn't see where I was going. We need light to see where we're going. Uh-oh. Wrong page. A few other connections to that. So if you can't see because there is no light, are you in a safe place? Now, I could step off here, and that's okay. I could be at the Grand Canyon with one step in front of me. Is that safe? No, it's no longer safe that way. If I'm trying to pick, so you go to the grocery store, all these things are just abstract thoughts here. You go to the grocery store, but you can't see anything, and you want to buy an apple. And so you are in front of the apples, but some of the apples are perfect. They're ripe, and some of them are bruised and brown. So you grab a bag, and one bag is perfect apples. The other bag is just mushy apples, all brown and bruised. They probably got worms in them. Being able to see would give you wisdom to make a good choice, right? If you're buying a car and you can't see the difference between, so they've got things like Carfax now that do all that for you. But if you're looking at a car and you can't see some of the hidden problems, you can't see that the wheel bearing's bad. You can't see that there's issues with this or that. You might say, oh, it's a good car, only to find out that you bought a lemon because of what you couldn't see. We need a light to be able to see so that we are using wisdom. Light throughout Scripture, and let me start with our passage this morning. One verse just to start with, John 8, verse 12. As Jesus is continuing to speak to the crowds during the festival of booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus spoke up and said this. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When Jesus talks about being the light of the world, he's talking about something different than what we were just talking about. He's talking about a very spiritual sense of the aspect. And yet it's not very different. When Jesus would say, I am the light of the world, actually when John records what Jesus says, every time that John speaks about light in his gospel, 23 times I think it is, every time that John speaks of light, John is speaking of Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you have the light, you won't walk in darkness. And so what you understand already from the very beginning of that is Jesus is painting a contrast there between the light and the darkness that we see in the world around us. There is in many ways, a very similar way of thinking about light that we were talking about. You need light to see where you're going in this world, not just down the road or across the lawn or something like that. You and I need to be able to see by a true light in this world. The psalmist, David, says in Psalm 27, and he gives us this another aspect of what Jesus is talking about. The psalmist said there, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He connects light and salvation and light being without fear. Because we talked about if you're about ready to step off of something and you can't see, that could be a fearful place. If you don't know where your next step is in this world, And again, go back to 8 inches down from here, or 800 feet down to the bottom of a canyon. If you don't know where you're at and where your next step will take you, that can be a fearful place. But David said, the Lord is my light, and I don't need to fear because of that. He's the one that saves me out of those circumstances. In Psalm 42, it says, 43, it says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. There's this sense again here where spiritual light is meant to lead you. Just like the cars going by, especially at night, you need lights to be able to see where you're going. The psalmist paints that same picture. One of the memory verses that we've been working on recently, and out here we've kind of taken a break from that. But if you remember, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is what Jesus is saying of himself when he says, I am the light of the world. I am the one that lights your path, that gives you enough light to see where your next step is, and I'm a light to your path so you can see which direction you're supposed to go as well. Light. Going back to if you're picking a bag of fresh good apples or the rotten ones, you need wisdom. Light gives you the wisdom to be able to see the two there that are different. Ecclesiastes 2:13 says, then I saw that there's more gain in wisdom than folly, as there is more gain in light than darkness. Light gives us this place where we have wisdom to figure out the things of our world and the path that we're on. John, later on in his gospel, as he talks about light, he says, if anybody walks in the day, which is the daylight, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anybody walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. There are all kinds of things in this world that are here to trip us up. They are intentionally here to trip us up. That is a tactic of the enemy that he has been using forever. He doesn't need to bring you off course so much, but only to make you stumble and think that there was nobody there to guide you. Isaiah talks about how it is in this world when you can't see. And how do you then navigate? Isaiah 42 says at verse 16, I will lead the blind in a way they do not know, in paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things that I do, and I do not forsake them. If you're blind, you need someone to guide you. I remember this young man. He was older than me. From a church that I grew up in, everywhere he went, he quietly and casually held on to the hand of his father that would lead him around. And his father had committed himself to doing that. And it was just such a wonderful picture of somebody that was in need of direction and wisdom as to where to go. And then his father would come along at all times and lead him. He wasn't going to lead him to the edge of the stage here like this and make him walk off. He wasn't going to do that. He would protect him. He would guide him away from those things that would make him stumble and fall and hurt himself. Jesus was in the habit of bringing sight to people that couldn't see either. John 9, just a little bit past where we read at John 8 there, said as he passed by, this was something that Jesus would do regularly in his ministry. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. This man, too, had never seen anything in his life. He was without a way to navigate on his own, and he needed guidance. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? this man or his parents that he was blind. Jesus said it wasn't that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man was healed. Jesus is regularly doing this. Jesus was repeatedly bringing sight to the blind for more than just the purpose of them being able to see where they were going. Jesus would often use the illustration of those that were blind and couldn't see to illustrate the world in which he came into. There were people that were sighted but couldn't see. Spiritually, they were blind. And Jesus wanted to make that point in the people's lives. I want you to know that what I'm offering you is more than just vision to get through your day. I'm offering you sight to be able to see light so that you can make it through life itself, life for eternity. He was regularly doing that, regularly bringing life to people. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, if you consider the sun, how far does that extend? What part of the world does it reach? At some point, all of it, right? There are times when due to the pitch of the earth and everything in the seasons, there are those places at the poles that remain rather dark where you don't see the sun rise, but it's still there, right? It's not as if it's pitch dark. The light from the sun still reaches those places, just not directly. Even here in the night, knock out all the streetlights and everything else, and the sun has gone down. Is there still light? There is. The moon reflects it, or there's enough light in the atmosphere yet that you can still see. There's not a place on the earth where light doesn't reach. That's why Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light to everything that exists, to everybody. But he's not just a source of light. Now, if you had your flashlight and you're trying to locate something in a dark closet or the basement or the garage or something like that, that's a source of light, right? If you're driving down the road, you can turn on your headlights. That's a source of light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. All of it. He's the only true source of light for this world. But there will be other people, other sources that will try to, other people that will try to set themselves up as a source of light. They will try to guide you, as Jesus is here to guide us. They will try to do something similar, or they will be such a bad light that their purpose is not to lead you into another good path, but a wicked one. He is the source of all light and the only true light that there is. When John begins his gospel account, he lets us know that. He paints a picture that if anybody has ever read the Bible, they would begin to remember or hear these words as familiar words. The opening of John's Gospel, the account of Jesus' life, says, in the beginning, right? Got your attention. It's the very opening words of Scripture themselves. And that's the way John opens his account of revealing Jesus to us. It's the way Scripture opens in revealing God to us. It's meant to sound that familiar. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men, of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you would go back and read that opening introduction in Genesis, it would sound the same way for a very good reason. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, what did God say? Let there be light. And there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness. He saw that it was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. On the fourth day, it's kind of a repeat of that same thing, except for it's a filling of the universe. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. These are things that would mark out time for us, allow us to be able to navigate through life, to be able to understand where you're at. We know now, because of the position of the sun, we're in the summertime here. We can feel the heat of the sun a lot more so now than we do in the winter. We know that because of the position of the sun and the moon and the stars and all those things. And He separated the light from the darkness. The opening page of Scripture paints what John does here. The light shines in the darkness. God said, let there be light, because He was looking out over a dark world. The world was without form and void, and darkness was there, but only until God said, let there be light. And the world itself as a whole has never been completely dark. There were times of darkness and times of light. And Jesus came into the world when He came as the true source of life that people were meant to understand. We were supposed to see that He is the light. John, again, so here's an interesting fact. When John, the Apostle John, speaks about light ever, John wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote the Epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, John wrote the Book of Revelation, every time John uses the word light, he is referring in some way to Jesus. In 1 John 1, verse 5, he says this just to make it absolutely clear when he's talking about Jesus as the source of light and how we are to understand that. This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we're in the light, as He is in the light, Scripture would say, we have fellowship with one another as we walk together in the light, and we have fellowship with our Father and with our Savior as well. There will always be a light in the world. At the end of the story, when you get to the other end of the book, there will be one source of light yet for all things. Can you guess what that source will be? It's the Sunday school answer. Linda, raise your hand and say, Jesus, right. Jesus will be the source of light at the very end of time as well. But in this world, there are people that carry flashlights, if you will, and try to lead you by shining a light here or there and say, you should walk this way. You should try this path instead. These are people that are there to lead you astray. They are false prophets and false apostles, Scripture would say. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul speaking there, said, such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, he says, For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds. There will be all kinds, and there have been all kinds of people that want to lead you astray. They want to spin you around in circles when you're in the dark and then lead you to the edge of something that's only meant to harm you and not protect you. They are the ones that will say, here's a light for you, and this is the path in which you should go, not knowing that at the end of that path, there is that steep cliff that you're going to fall off, and there's no coming back from that. When Paul talks about the gospel message, still there in 2 Corinthians, he talks about those that follow a false light and those that would follow the true light, where people in this world have fallen prey to the source of light that is false. It is not the true source. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, in their case, the god of this world, it's our enemy, it's the devil himself, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, the one who proclaimed that at the very beginning of time, let there be light, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The one who said, let light shine in the darkness, has also been shining in your hearts. You have His light in you. If you belong to Christ, if you are in Christ, when we are looking at our identity, being in Christ, if you are in Christ, you have His light in you. Which means you know which way to go. He's laid it out for you. He's given you the lamp for your path. He's given you wisdom so you can choose wisely. He leads you in the direction that you should go so you don't get lost. He gives you light, righteousness, so you make wise choices and live godly lives as men and women. You have the light of life. I am the light of the world, he says. If you have me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Here's the interesting thing about Jesus being the light of the world and us being connected to him. If Christ is the head of the body, and we are his people, as it says in Scripture, if we are in Christ Jesus and Christ is in us, here's what Jesus says about that light. Jesus said here in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. You know what he said in Matthew? Matthew 5, 14? You are the light of the world. Now, you are not that source. You being connected to Christ, having the light in you, knowing the life that is in him, you possess the life, the light that is in Christ, that is Christ, you have that, and you are now representing light and life to the world. You are the light of the world. What an amazing thing to think of. Jesus, who is the source of all light, everything good, everything holy, everything righteous, the one who gives us hope and assurance and direction, he said, you are the light of the world. What are you going to do with it? Luke 8:16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. If you possess the light of Christ in you, what would you do with it? There's a song that some of the kids sang. I know we sang it when we were kids. This little light of mine. I'm going to hide it? No. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for His time to come back as the victorious King and rule and reign over all things as the true source of light for all that believe in Him. Until that time, you represent Him. He was sent as a representative of His Father, and He is the light that was in the world. And He has passed that torch, pun intended, to us, so that we might carry that light into the world and show Jesus for who He is, pointing the way to Jesus, the true source of light. You have the light of life in you. It's up to us now, as recipients of that light, to shine it out in the world around us, because I can't imagine walking in darkness and not knowing where I'm going. The thought of that physically creeps me out. Spiritually, it would make me shudder with utter fear to think that I don't know what will become of my life, and I may be doomed because I've chosen the wrong path. We have a world around us that is in darkness yet, and you're going to be the light for somebody. You're gonna point the way to the true source of life that you reflect. You get to be the moon in that sense, where Christ is reflected off of you, and you can say, no, that's not me. The moon doesn't have light of its own. It just reflects the true source. That's you and me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How about you? Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank You that You are that true source of life, that true source of everything that is holy and right and good and true. You are the source of light, which is the very light, the life that we possess. If the light were taken away, our world would be dark, and how great that darkness would be. But we thank You, Jesus, that You are our light, and that You give us the opportunity to point the way for other people so that they may not stumble and fall in this life as well. Thank You, Jesus, that You give us such simple examples last week of having bread, and that bread being life for us. This week, the example of light and how important, how critical it is that we would have light in this world and not be in darkness. So, Father, help us to use what You've given us through the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and help us also by the power of the Spirit that lives within us to take this light that You have shone on us that has illumined our own hearts, and take that light and bring it to the world around us, carrying a torch with us wherever we go so that other people may see that there is a way of peace and hope, of joy and happiness in the midst of such great darkness around us. Sickness and death and confusion and loss, with all kinds of hatred and envy and jealousy and wars and turmoil, everything, Father, that's going on in our world, it seems like the rest of the world is just in utter darkness, and we have that great joy and responsibility too of shining the light for them as well. So may Your word inspire us as we take the light out into the world this week, even today, that we may be shining examples of who Jesus is, that true source of light, the light of the world, that they would not walk in darkness as we do not walk in darkness anymore ourselves. So, Father, take the words that we have heard today and knit them into our hearts so that we might represent Jesus and do that by the power of Your Spirit that works within us. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.